Hi Danima, welcome to What's Brewing, and it feels amazing to have you here. So thank you so much to be on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me here. I have heard, I think, about 7 to 8 episodes of your last season, and I think they were amazing. The kind of people that you have are so inspiring, each one of them. So thank you so much. It's my honor.
Thank you so much. I'm glad you like the season, and I really hope people like this season as well. It's more towards, getting connected to your root, that no matter wherever you go, your roots are just there. So yeah, I found that in your profile, and I thought you would be a perfect match for it. So let's just start off by knowing, what did you do in the entire pandemic 2020?
Well, when it comes to the pandemic 2020, I am as of now at home, but for starters, home as in Ghaziabad. And otherwise, I was for starters in Goa. I was stranded and stuck over there for about 2 to 3 months. And then, as soon as the trains and the commute started, I booked the first train back here home. Because my health wasn't that great at that point of time, actually. So I had to come back home as soon as possible.
And what have you been doing since you got back? I saw your baking page on Instagram, and that's how I found you out.
So ever since I got back, I knew that I had to keep myself occupied and engaged. I had plans of going abroad for my post graduation this year in May 2020, but because of the pandemic, my entire course got deferred to May 2021. So I really wanted to find something to keep myself engaged in, and especially because I'm a pastry chef by profession. I wanted to stay in touch with my skill. So what I did was I decided that I will start my home business, and then I got on with it, and it's been great.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So, before you came here, before you started your business, what were you doing? You studied some hotel management, I think.
So when it comes to my education and career, I would say that I started with IHM Bangalore, and I went there for my bachelor's. I did a hotel management course, and then it was a generic course, so there was no specialization at that point of time, although I was really clear-headed that I wanted to pursue patisserie. And then I from there moved on to doing a hoteliers development program, which is a management training program with Taj Hotels. And I pursued that. And then by the end of that is when I actually became a pastry chef. I specialized in that department, trained there for about a year.
So how was that like? How was working in Taj like?
Working in Taj was, oh my God, so much learning. So first of all, it was my first job. The entire program of the hotelier development program, it's like a very fast forward program. So they would train you to become like a general manager. So that's the entire wholesome agenda of that program. But at the end of the day, you'd graduate to become like an assistant manager for starters, and then you will carve your way forward from there. So it was so much learning because we were privileged enough to get the opportunity to meet amazing managers who would give us lectures and training sessions. Apart from that, we used to have like theory classes where we would learn department-specific theory. We were rotated in all various departments of the entire hotel, from the ancillary ones to the major ones. So it was so much learning, but it was like literally, we literally slogged ourselves to make the most of the program. We would work for so many hours, so much hard work. It made me learn so much. It was, I think, the best time of my life up until now, I would say.
That actually sounds really interesting and really fun. I mean, Taj has a brand name, and apart from that, if the work was really good, so yeah, that's amazing. And you mentioned that your small home bakery thing you did to keep yourself going. So how has that been like, your experience with Bake Do Teen, and how did you get the idea, and how was the journey like?
So first of all, Bake Do Teen, the name itself, I really wanted to be fun and exciting. Like I had this entire dreamy imagination of, having a place which is very vibrant and like, I can you can relax over there, and if I want, I can carry forward the name. So it was a lot of brainstorming with a couple of friends. Then finally, there's a friend of mine, Kasturi, who has been on your last season. So she's who helped me out with the name, and actually she was the one who suggested the name, and I thought it was
I guess
an
she is the one who suggests name to everyone, because she was the one who suggested What's Brewing to me as
amazing
well. So
name.
if you're listening, then thank you so
Yeah,
much.
Kasturi, thank you. So grateful to you for this. But yeah, so it started with the name first, and the entire idea was to, as I said, to stay in touch with my roots of baking, right? So I finally decided that it's going to be something which is going to be relaxing for me, because I have the privilege of one entire year to stay with my family and be at home before I move out of India to study abroad. And I didn't want this to be like a really, really hectic and tiring thing for me. I wanted it to be joyous, and I wanted it to make me happy. So I kept it like that. The idea, the way that I grew it, was like that. I'll do minimal marketing. I do only serving people to make them happy. So the entire idea about a small home bakery and a business was taking like a couple of orders in a day, personalizing them to best of my abilities, and then delivering them to the doorstep and making them fresh that very day, delivering them that very day, making my customers feel comfortable with whatever I'm doing. So that was the entire idea. At the same point of time, it was for a change, where in businesses, it's very customer centric. But this time in my home bakery, it was more me-centric, as in what I wanted to do with my food, what I wanted to feel in terms of relaxation. And because if I'm happy at my soul, I can deliver my soul out there to the people in a form of the food that I'm making for them.
Yeah, that's lovely. That's so sweet and so lovely to hear that while you were taking care of yourself, like prioritizing your need in this entire journey, you served so well to the people. So yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, I really hope it
And
comes out like that. Like I hope people can feel the love in my food when I send it out to them.
yeah, I'm sure they must have. And while talking about bakery and all of this, I've seen some amazing food on your page, and my cousin Kasturi always like posts about it. So I would like to ask, what's your favorite dessert?
Oh my God. I'm having a Not like such a nostalgic moment right now, because this was one of the questions that I was asked at my interview with Taj, and that was, and later on I got to know from one of my managers who actually was in the panel to select me. She told me that was the entire reason why I got in the first place, was because I described my favorite dish or described my favorite dessert to them. So what I told them at that time was that I really, really love this beverage, but it's like a dessert to me. So it's not like a proper dessert, but having a big mug of coffee, hot and brewing with cinnamon in it to give it that touch of sweetness and spice, and then with like a big chunk of whipped cream into it for the sweetness. So it's
Oh
like
my
dessert with
God.
like, you can put some brown sugar on top, which goes amazingly well with a coffee. So that was one of my favorite, like, I would say a beverage, but it's like a very wholesome dessert for me as well. So I have it
Yeah, it sounds like really heavy and wholesome.
at any
Yeah, that's amazing. So, Moving on, I also see that you've gotten a lot into personal development in the entire 2020. So, what has been your takeaway from 2020? Has it been anything related to personal development and all that? And
To back this up with also a story, I'd like to say that my entire life, ever since I was like a little kid up until now, has been, and I think it's for everybody, like, we all go on the basis of conditioning, what we are taught in life. Our experiences make us who we are today, right? So in my life, those experiences hold such a big, big space in my life. My life literally has been like an ECG machine where you can see ups and downs and ups and downs. And there have been major ups, but then there have been like major downs. And for me to get a hold of that frequency in the most optimistic manner, and at times dropping to a place where I have been super pessimistic about life in general too, has taught me great lessons that today I can proudly, proudly say, that life is my biggest teacher. My inner guide is my biggest teacher. So I decided that in 2020, I have the time to reflect. I had a lot of time to reflect on my life because when it comes to hotel management and hotels in general, the schedules of chefs are really, really busy. You don't even know when the day starts and when the day ends. It's really, really tiring and hectic. Obviously, it has its plus sides also in terms of learning, but it has been tough. I finally had 16 hours in a day, or maybe 10 hours in a day, just for reflection when I was stranded in Goa during quarantine. And I reflected a lot. I started meditating a lot. I attended a lot of workshops and webinars. I finally read the Bhagavad Gita. Super duper enlightening times, basically, in my own company. That's when I decided that this year is going to be a year for me in terms of my personal development. Reflecting back on the years and the experiences that I've had and I've gained from. And after a couple of months, I finally decided to start something with a friend of mine who I actually met in one of these workshops that I was doing about getting more enlightened about things like law of attraction, abundance, limiting beliefs in life that people have, a lot of self-help tools. So finally decided to start something similar with my friend, and we both decided that we have this thing to share it with other people and inspire them that they can be in the same place as us that we are in today. We are really happy and joyful. So we started this initiative called Kensho Factor, where we made a structure for a 5 to 7 day workshop where we would offer people the learnings that we had gained from other workshops and books that we'd like to share with them. And I think sharing your learning is the best way to learn another aspect of yourself.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, that sounds really amazing. And yeah, I mean, I would like to go back to where you started it from, about, how life has been up and down for you. And that's pretty much how it has been for everyone. And I'm sure 2020 has been similar for everyone in terms of reflecting ourselves, talking about whatever has happened, thinking about it and reflecting. And it has been the same for me as well. And it's amazing how you have taken the initiative to share that with people in terms of whatever you have learned. And it's very important to, share your knowledge and experiences because that's literally when it expands.
Yeah,
So,
it's
yeah.
like a chain reaction. I always say
That's
it's a chain reaction. It's a domino effect. If you raise your vibrations, you step into somebody else's atmosphere, and they'll start vibing at your frequency, or you start vibrating at their frequency. It's all energy, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the moment you enter a room full of people whom you like or whom you find you're comfortable with, the positive vibes and positive energy just makes you feel happy and, really nice. And at the same time, personally, if I enter a room full of strangers, I'm like, oh, okay, where am I? And that positive vibe just goes away from me, even if I had the best day of my life in the beginning. So yeah, the energy and the vibe matters a lot.
I completely get that.
Yeah, and I also saw that you've done some tarot card reading and stuff. I mean, I'm sure anyone who has seen the promo poster for the episode will be interested in listening to it for this part.
It's a very, very, I must say, very special aspect of my life, a very important aspect of my life because of the lessons that I have gained from it as well. I got attracted to tarot and other mystical tools when I was a little kid, since I was a little kid. My dad does read palms at times. It's just like a hobby, he used to. He when he was, I think, even younger than me, is when he had I don't know, like couple of books on palm reading, on body language reading, on so many other psychological books basically, and then some mystical ones as well. So he learned all of these things out of books. And I, as a little kid, you always used to, like, be so fascinated how at times he would read like people's palms, and it was just out of a good intention, and it was just a hobby, but it was always so fascinating for me to watch. After a couple of years, I realized that I also started having a knack for it during one of my summer vacations. I think before our boards, we used to get like such a long vacation, right? Like for 3 months or so. So that's the time when I picked up one of his palm reading books, and I just glimpsed it, like flipped through it. And I don't know how, but I felt like this is something that I can just pick up on. Okay, like my intuition, my gut feeling, that they always say that, like, I feel that this is right, this is not right. That gut feeling said that, this is something that I can pick up on. Then a couple of years later, when I was working with Taj, at that point of time also, I got like a really long break of, I think, 10 days. I came across this advertisement on Google about tarot, and I was like, I think I need to buy this. So I did invest into one of the decks, and the very day that they arrived, I think I asked one of my friends who was also off that day. I asked her, can I do a reading for you? So I always have candles in my room. I love lighting candles. I lit some candles, did like a small, brief, little fancy looking ritual before I started reading. And I didn't even know how to read. Like, to be very honest, I just had that guidebook in my hand, and I was like, okay, let me just try and tap into it. I mean, more than anything, these cards are like symbols and paintings and pictures. So it's like artwork that you would interpret to tell somebody else what you feel about the question that they have asked. And more than a futuristic reading, it's about the present moment, what you see in the card and what you have to tell them. It's not about the future, it's about the present.
That's something I actually wanted like ask you that so can you predict future out of tarot card? I mean, I know you can't, but that's just something that's a myth that a lot of people have that it can be tarot card or astrology or anything spiritual or anything like that. They just think that you can tell them the future, like if they're gonna get rich or not, if they have some accident or not, if they're gonna have babies or not, I don't know what not. And I would really like you to clear here if that happens.
So I will tell you what I know in my experience, and I will tell you what I know in this moment, what is the background behind all of these questions that people have. And I can hear that for some people it would resonate, for some people it won't. For even myself, I think there's still a lot to learn in life. So my answer would maybe get refined further as I go on. But as of now, what I know is that ever since that day that I did the reading for my friend, at that very moment, I know that this is not fortune telling. It is guidance. It is guidance from the source creation
Yeah.
itself, who created us as individuals, which lies in every single form, tangible, intangible, object, subject that you see in life. You are such a tiny being.
Yeah.
You have an energy. Obviously, if there's such a huge cosmos and a, such a huge energy in such a huge planet, it will definitely affect you in some manner, wouldn't it? So, yes, it does affect you in some manner. Yes, there are ways that people can tap into that energy. But is it important for you to know that future? I would say that's not necessary, because if tomorrow you're going to get hit by a car, how will you stop it if it's such a huge frequency? You can be
Yeah,
cautious,
exactly.
you can be cautious for sure, but how will you
Yeah.
entirely stop that process from happening when it's so much more larger than you?
You're definitely right about it. And like you started it saying how it's not about fortune telling, it's about guidance. And here, like personally, I feel, I guess I even mentioned this to you earlier, but I feel sometimes people, feel miserable in their life because there's so much going on and they just need an answer to some questions and they just go for the guidance. As long as it's in limit, it's, in your understanding that you're just doing it for a moment just to feel better, it's fine. But if you're not, then yeah, like excess of anything is bad.
Exactly.
I feel I wouldn't go for anything like this. Not because I don't believe in it. No, I know there's like energy, there's everything has its own energy, everything happens for a reason, and you can't stop anything from happening, and everything that like everything that you mentioned, I agree to it, but at the same time, I feel that I have the energy within myself, which I have already acknowledged that I'm capable of keeping myself up. I know that I have the answers to whatever wrong that is happening, like
Yeah.
I can do it because I trust myself. I trust the energy that's there within me,
Yeah.
and I feel I can't change what's going to happen, but I can face what's going to
Yeah.
happen. So yeah,
Yeah.
that is
Yeah.
which would be my take on the
Yeah,
entire.
because see, you have that spark of creation and that source within you. So why would you go
Yeah.
outside to any other spark to get to know what
Yeah.
your spark is really meant to do or what your spark truly is? So, although as you said that it's absolutely fine in certain moments where you do feel miserable, because that's, you see, creation is made this way. You are codependent beings. We are animals. We need another person at a certain point of time to get a certain commodity these days. So you would definitely go to another human being. There's no harm in that. But the final decision, the final thing that's going to happen is going to happen from your form, your body. It's your act.
I'm glad that we talked about all these things, and I really hope that helps people in, if they have whatever questions with themselves or like rethinking about anything that they're feeling. I really hope that helps them right now. And yeah, thank you so much, Tinima, for being on the show. It was amazing having you here.
Thank you.
And it was amazing listening to all of this. And yeah, thank you so much.
I really, really wish you all the very best, all the luck in the world to you for what you're doing. Really, really sending you so much love, so much strength, so much power to keep moving ahead, and people to keep getting inspired by whatever you share on this podcast.
Thank you so much, Tanima. It really means a lot. And yeah, thanks for being here.
Thank you.